Our steady, sure hope leads us to a patience that glorifies God. Good morning, everyone. It's Daniel, and today we are in Romans 8, 22 through 25. And we're coming up on the peak of all scripture here in Romans chapter 8. And so as we look at this passage, we can see that not only has God allowed bad things to happen, but he's used them for his glory and for our good. Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together and in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." This is one of the greatest apologetic sections of the Bible. And apologetics is never separated from evangelism. We always think of the defense of the faith as a whole bunch of archaeological data and philosophical reasoning. And we think evangelism is just get them to Jesus. Well, they're one and the same. The reason we do apologetics is to show that Jesus is the only way to salvation and joy and hope. So as we look at this passage, we can see that, and carrying on from last time, God uses evil to prove that there is a better way. Most everybody you talk to will admit that they think that the world has gone to pot. We saw this last time. The creation being subjected to futility shows that there is a meaning that has been forgotten. But if there is a meaning, then we can maybe recover that meaning, or we can be shown what that meaning is again. And that's what he talks about here in the end of this section. Not only the creation, verse 23, is groaning, but we ourselves, as Christians, know that there is something better. We groan inwardly as we wait for the adoption as sons. We want new bodies. We want new hearts. And we're waiting eagerly. And this is indeed why we were saved. The Christian, when he is considering Christ, says, "This world is not my home. It has nothing for me." And so we turn to a better hope. We don't see Christ in all his glory and power when we become Christians, but we have a sense that he is there and he is coming back for us. You can't just make believe. You actually have to trust and know who he is. And that's what this hope is. So do you see how apologetics and evangelism are tied together? Apologetics is not just proving God right. Apologetics is showing that God is righteous and our world is fallen so that people might flock to his son. One of the most common questions anyone will ever hear about God is, why? Why did God allow evil? And that's the wrong way to ask it, as we've discussed before. The question is, why does God not punish all of humanity because they continually turn from him? Apart from God, there is no life. So we can't demand of him certain things. We only have to ask of ourselves, why do we keep doing the things that he so hates? I recently met with a friend who is struggling with a rescue dog. It's a massive German shepherd. He can't hold the dog back. He's actually ruined his shoulder trying to hold the dog back. And the dog is perfectly happy around him, but any of his friends, it just wants to eat alive. Now, we could get mad at my friend for rescuing a bad dog, but it wasn't his fault that the dog is bad. And we can get mad at the dog, or we can have pity on the dog and gratitude for the man. That is exactly what theodicy is. When we look at the problem of evil or the question of evil, we can demand to know why the dog is the way he is. But mostly, we need to be grateful that the dog was ever rescued. I can tell you I'm not as gracious as this man. If a dog acted like that in my house around my children, it'd be gone in 2 seconds. But God invited us, a rabid wild dog into his house. And the weight of our sin actually killed his son. That's what that adoption cost in verse 23. That is why we groan inwardly. The tension between our indwelling sin and the hope that we have been promised. The difference between the world and what we know will be in the future is exactly the power we have to teach others who Jesus is. It is our apologetic mission to show just how evil evil really is, give it the gravity, the weight that it really is, and then we can show just how great God really is. I was reading recently, one guy talks about how he found a diamond for his wife, and he wasn't a diamond kind of person. He said, sure, whatever, it's a diamond. And then the salesperson held it up against a black velvet backdrop, and it threw it into relief, and all the light in the store caught that one little diamond. Do not despise your groaning. It's the black backdrop for the beauty of the gospel. Point to the problems in the world not as complaining, whiny, petulant children, but as a reason to hope for what we do not see. We know there is something better, and the world needs to know it as well. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the last verse here, verse 25. We wait for it with patience. This isn't thumb twiddling, toe tapping, hurry up, you're in my way, patience. This is deep-seated contentment that is reflecting the joy of our Lord in us. And that is how God receives glory for what he's doing in us. So, brothers and sisters, we cannot complain about the evil in this world. When we do, it turns others away from the hope of the gospel. It weakens the power of our preaching in our lives and our words. Do not let the hope in this last section fade into a vague hope that someday we will have some small consolation. No, this hope is the grandeur of heaven. This hope is the realization that we get to spend eternity with the one who made us for a purpose that will satisfy us forever. You are sons, and we're waiting for the revelation of just how much God loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for adopting us as sons and daughters. Thank you for calling us into your kingdom, where we do not belong. Lord, let those truths cause us to speak loudly and clearly about who you are and what you're going to do with this darkness in this world. You are the God of light, and you will illuminate all things for your glory. Let us hope well with patience, so that you might be seen as great in this evil world. Amen.